Welcome back to the Macam in the Middle podcast. And the first one of the new season, pre-season, is underway. Two games already played. And, of course, Sunderland do travel out to America on Wednesday, a couple of days' time, once this is released, with three more games to be played there, then a home game against Mallorca and then a game against Hartlepool before the start of the season in the first week of August, I think it is. So a few things to talk about. A few signings have been made, a few players have left, a few rumours about other players leaving and, of course, rumours of other players coming in. Still a lot to be done on that front. Kits have been released. Obviously, the first sighting of Semedo on the pitch, Bellingham, all of that to kind of talk about. But first and foremost, John, it hasn't actually been too long. I think it's been about 6 weeks since the season finished. But even if it's just pre-season against South Shields with a load of 15 and 16-year-olds on the pitch, it's just good to have something back, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously club football is certainly my main focus, and obviously Sunderland playing, you know, every single week. I've missed it, even though it's only been sort of 6 weeks. But yeah, it was nice to almost have that. We've had that little bit of recharge, but obviously that desire for it to be there is well and truly back now. And as soon as you see, you know, the anticipation of the kits, and obviously we've made some early signings, which doesn't normally happen, you know, and obviously Bellingham coming in, it's all quite an exciting moment. So yeah, it's, you know, it's been quite a slow 6 weeks, but I don't think we can complain as it's back in full swing now.
It is. And obviously some people love pre-season, Kyle, some people hate it. But like I say, it's a chance for people to go and watch Sunderland play football, albeit not in a necessarily competitive environment. But like I say, football's back, and obviously you're going to America. Well, I say you're going to America, you're in America, but you're going to the games in America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've been excited. I'm going to the New Mexico leg, which, you know, isn't the most ideal, but geographically just makes the most sense. It's, yeah, we just look at the temperatures. It's going to be real hot. So, if anything, it's going to get the boys, you know, ready by the time they get back to the UK. You know, no matter how kind of warm or hot it is out there, they're going to be able to suffer it just fine. So, but yeah, no, looking forward to it. Fun to see a lot of the new kind of players in action. Like, it really did feel like completely new teams. Kits looked fine. I think the away kit looks pretty good on, you know, on TV as well, from what I could tell. And the home kit's fine. You know, I'm not one of the people who live and die over the kit release by any means, but
there's a lot of, I say a lot, there's certainly a few people that take the kits to heart, I think, every season. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen the tweet, but there was someone absolutely fuming that we had black socks and black shorts and red socks again. He was fuming.
Right.
Thought it was very unprofessional.
It just leaves, I don't know. There are certain aspects that leave a little bit to be desired, but, you know, hey, well, you know, when we're in the prep, maybe we'll get back to, you know, really, you know, bespoke kits and things like that. But yeah, it's, I think just people have too much time on their hands during the off season. And so I think it's good just to get ball on the pitch, just because it takes some people's fume away from.
It's a very good change when, you know, the clothing that our players are wearing is one of the biggest concerns.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, on top of everything else. But yeah, you're 100% correct. Yeah, the clothing, we won't get into the merchandise and the retail side of things or anything. That's probably a discussion for another pod. But yeah, it was good just to see a little bit of fume over the clothes. But now that we've seen the actual players in them on the pitch, I think a lot of that fume is going to go away. And people are just going to strap in for the season.
Yeah. Like I say, James, the reason behind the kits being the main theme at the minute is because Sunderland have actually done quite well so far in terms of transfer window. We're quite used to Sunderland waiting until the deadline day or the day before to panic buy, or, you know, leave it very late to the wire to sign players. But four players through the door already, I think. Yeah, four. So it's a good change and it's a good start, especially when you look at the players that we've brought in.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's some justifiable annoyance about the retail side of the club. I think it's lacking in some regards, and I think some of the criticism is justifiable. But matters on the field actually are really, really good, in my opinion, at the moment. And that's actually a shame when you compare it to the retail side of the club, because the footballing side and the academy, contracts, transfers, has all improved tenfold. But the retail side is sadly lacking. And I mean that in terms of, you know, you can argue all day about the quick kit quality, but I'm not actually talking about the design of the kits. I'm talking about, you know, the club shot, the ticket. Yeah. the Black Cat House, the situation there, the staffing levels, the fact that they tried to outsource a lot of these things, but then had to bring the retail end of it back in-house. I think that was poor, but hey-ho, we go again. That stuff always seems to crop up with Sunderland and where Sunderland's concerned. But in terms of transfers, I think it's been pleasing so far. There's still areas of the squad where we're going to need a few more. I think what we're seeing now, Sunderland have done elements of their business early, which is good to see. That stops you getting ripped off. We then move into a sort of second phase of the transfer window where you're looking at probably a bit of experience. I think they're probably looking at an experienced midfielder at the moment. And you're probably looking to get those on free transfers or minimal fees, similar to the Danny Bart deal when he came in. And then the third phase will probably be the loans from Premier League clubs as the window develops. You know, Premier League clubs secure the targets, and then that allows players to be sent out on loan. But so far, so good. I like the look of Hamia at South Shields. I think he's just a very physically imposing striker. He's massive. He's about 6'3", 6'4", and then he has a nice hairdo as well, so it makes him look even taller. I didn't feel like he imposed his physicality on South Shields as defenders that much, but that can be forgiven. It was his first game in England against a National League side, National League North, whatever South Shields are now. But he has been brought in to the club to score goals eventually, and better to score in your first appearance than not, and he certainly did that, so the signs are positive. But I think from these pre-season games, it's always pretty hard really to read too much into it. My other takeaway from a South Shields game was that Jack Clark was the standout performer, and judging by his body language and his performance, that is not a player that wants to leave Sunderland. Obviously, Tony Mowbray said that he's happy here. His agent, Ian Hart, says that he's happy, and Clark certainly gives off the impression that he is. Clipped the bar twice in the first half, scored twice in the second half. And then after the game as well, he was wandering around Mariners Park when there were still fans in the stadium, signing autographs, looked completely relaxed. So I think, yeah, my main takeaway was that transfer to Burnley is by no means anywhere remotely close at the moment. Obviously, they've had bids not backed, derisory offers really. But yeah, I personally think he's still going to be here unless Burnley up the offer by about three or four times, to be honest.
Yeah. And obviously the signings that we've brought in, John, are promising ones like Bellingham, Hamia, Triantis and Sealed, who obviously the latter two haven't played yet. Triantis, I think, still on extended leave because obviously he plays in the Australian League and that season went on for a little bit longer. But pre-season is not just about seeing, you know, the players that you've brought in, but also the players that are already at the club who the season before maybe didn't get the chance that they could have. The likes of Chris Wigg, obviously he's just turned 16, signed a scholarship for 2 years. I'm going to try and name some of them off the top of my head and I'm probably going to get them wrong. I think it was a lad called Connor Pye, I think, came on at left back in the Shields game, who looked very good when he came on. And, you know, there's a handful of other ones that I can't remember the names of that looked like, you know, with a bit of development, a bit of training, maybe moving up to the first team for a few training sessions, could have some part to play in, you know, cup games and league games as a substitute. And it's just, like I say, pre-season's just a good time to see what they could offer.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, everyone's, you know, involved. I think that's why we went with the, you know, two games in one day type thing. I think a couple of the youngsters actually played in both games. I think Spellman and...
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of the others, but I don't think it's any great surprise that we've got a fantastic academy, and you know the remit is at the moment if we want these young lads to sign. I think, you know, there has to be that bit of a promise of, you know, you will get a chance, and if you do take it, you know, albeit Chris Riggs was 15, you know, if he's going to take his chance, then you know, look, he's going to get a place in the squad, and you know, you can give that to every single player, and that. You know, those are the reasons why those players will want to stay, and we can build, and we can actually build, you know, a proper academy. We know, you know, that some of these players might outgrow us, but you know, if they do, it means they're moving on for good money. You know, and we're not seeing what we saw sort of, you know, two or three years ago with the last regime sort of stripping it all back and, you know, selling for peanuts because, you know, on paper 100-150 grand looked, you know, a lot of money at that point, whereas you know, now you're not going to let anyone go for you know, really, really low money. And it just shows you that, you know, again, Chris Ring is another one we name. He's so young, but he looks so, you know, accomplished on the ball and imposing. And it's just he's probably ahead of a lot of players in his age, and maybe a couple of years ahead, a couple of years older than him. He's still ahead. And like I say, if they're going to take their opportunity, you know, other people who don't play in the squad can't moan. But it's a really, really healthy place to be at the moment. And, you know, I've gone very heavy on Rig at the moment, you know, but for him to turn around and turn down sort of what's his boyhood club and, you know, in Newcastle when he could have gone there and, you know, Champions League football and maybe made the bench. And you know, at the age of 16, he's turned that down to stay with us. It's a massive, you know, plus, you know, in the way we are actually doing things. And, you know, I could probably talk about a few of the players. I think, is it Crompton? I think he was another one who really stood out as well. So yeah, the opportunities are there. And if you're going to take those opportunities, that's perfect for us. And that's what we want to see, I think, in pre-season. You know, do we have to then go out and buy, you know, X, Y, and Z if we've got what we were looking for sort of in our own academy?
Yeah. And obviously, we're talking about the signings we've made, Kyle, but like James alluded to, there is still areas that do need stocking up in, I guess. And obviously, Strike is one of them. A couple of players linked over the last few days. Tom Cannon being one of them, albeit by the Sun. So make of that what you will. And obviously, they've just sold Ellis Sims for a structured deal that could end up being around $8 million to Coventry. I think they've paid $3.5 million up front, $5 million total, based on goals and appearances. And then if they get promoted, they do pay the full $8 million. And Tom Cannon, based on what Everton fans have said, is a lot more promising than Ellis Sims. So possibly one to keep an eye on, albeit I think he could be out of Sunderland's budget. But like I said, there is still areas that do need stocking up in, striking. Ahmad, obviously he's still a rumour that keeps on going. Can't see him dropping back down to the Championship again. But that'll keep going probably till the end of the transfer window. So like I say, it's going to be interesting the next few weeks to see the type of players we get linked with, if we bring anyone else in, you know, to play a part in the last couple of pre-season games.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it earlier too, just saying that the fact that we've done pretty much the bulk of our business already, it's just going to help us, because now teams aren't going to try to price gouge us and say, okay, well, now you're desperate because you didn't get anyone in. You know, we've got okay cover. You know, for the most part, I'm not going to say we're, you know, because obviously we saw kind of how that resulted toward the end of last season, which was, you know, still fine. But yeah, the Tom Cannon one's interesting. I heard that, you know, people are flight tracking flights from Ukraine or whatever. You know, this is really the fun part of the season when it comes to transfer rumors and speculations and things like that. It's just,
unless you're working in James's job, of course.
Yeah. well, you know, because yeah, James is barely a journalist compared to some of these other Twitter sleuths that we have. So I'm just kidding, James. You know, we love you, but yeah, it's just the types of players is really interesting to see. And it's more just building the model that we have that has been clearly defined. Which that was a couple of days ago. I was getting frustrated with just some fans. I think it was over the Bailey or not Bailey, right? The Danny Bath news. It's just, that's just going to happen. We're going to lose players that, you know, are quote unquote aged out of our side, or just kind of, you know, by necessity, that's just going to be how it is. It's going to be unfortunate. We're going to lose experience, but we just have to trust that, you know, the players we're going to bring in are going to keep a solid enough core around them and continue the model and sell on and make profit and all toward that goal of sustainability. And, you know, the Prem will come when we kind of show the league that we have our stuff together, so to speak, you know, on all fronts. And you know, I'm not too concerned. I think it's exciting, though. It's exciting, the types of players that we're bringing in, to see kind of the reach of the scouting network. I mean, you look just last year, 2 years, I mean, we have a player from Costa Rica, we have, you know, players from Spain, we have players from Australia, and now Ukraine. That's a pretty robust scouting network for, you know, obviously a club our size is good, but for the Championship in today's day and age, it shows that, you know, the plan is working, I would say. I mean, it's cool to have such a diverse squad as well. So I'm just looking forward to whoever's bringing in. I think they're going to slot in just fine. But yeah, I think striker depth would be great to have. We don't know how Stewart's going to come back, even though we're all awaiting that. That Achilles injury is tough, but, you know, come a long way. And then probably just a couple more along the back line, I think, will be set.
Yeah. And obviously the transfer window, James, isn't all about incomings. It is like about outgoings as well. And obviously we've alluded to Clark, who, quite frankly, I can't see leaving this window. But like Kyle said there, Danny Bart has been linked with the move to Blackburn. There's been a lot of fume about it. And it's one of them things that you just, A, don't know the story behind it. And a lot of people are very, very, very quick to criticise Speakman. You know, there's already been tweets of, if Bart goes, Speakman needs to go. And no one knows the story behind it, if it's going to happen, if it's not going to happen. But it's one of these things where you just need to trust the club's decision behind things.
Yeah, well, I think the story behind it is that Danny Bart's in the last year of his contract, and he's 32 now. He'll be 33, I think, this season. So he is a man doing a job, a professional doing a job. He has overheads and mortgages and bills to pay, like most of us do. So he'll be looking for longer term security. Whether or not he's been told he's not going to get a new deal next year, I don't know. But he would be approaching that age where you would think he might struggle to get a new deal, despite the fact that I actually think he's been excellent for Sunderland and could probably do it for another couple of years. Sunderland may well feel that the wage committed to Danny Bart could be better placed or better used on a younger player when he gets to 34. Obviously, you can't put a price on experience. I personally think it would be a big, big risk to let him go in the summer. I think you could reassess it when it comes to the January, but just looking at the squad list now, you would probably want Bath and Ballard as your two starting centre-backs. Obviously, we haven't seen Triantis or Jensen Sealed, but from experience, it takes new arrivals a bit of time to adapt. Look at Adji Elisi's debut against Sheffield Wednesday in the Carabao Cup. Obviously, Elisi as well is going to be out for the start of the season. Trey Hume and Dennis Sergin, you'd want at left back, at right back. You don't really want them at centre back. Of course, Luke O'Neill's there, who's like the stick and plaster for all problems. We know he can do a job, absolutely. And then you've got Joe Anderson as well. Whether he goes out on loan, I don't know. I don't think he's seen as an option to really start regularly in the Championship yet. So for me, I don't think someone should let Danny Bard go. I can understand the reasons behind it, and that sort of, he is entering the phase of his career where Sunderland probably wouldn't secure his future long-term. Whether you agree with that is a different argument. I obviously feel there's a place for experience in Sunderland squad. I also think there's an argument that Danny Bart's been Christian Speakman's best signing. Yes, you could look at Ahmad and Clark and Robertson. They really catch the eye, of course, probably for the resale value as well. But signing Danny Bart in League One from Stoke and what he's managed to do as a Sunderland player arguably provided the platform for the rest of those players that I've just mentioned. So yeah, I would like to see him go. I think you need leadership. I think you need experience. And it's a pretty gutsy call, actually, to let Danny Bart go. But Sunderland believe in their principles and their model, which is fair enough. And of course, we don't know, that the player might be desperate to get that 2 years at Blackburn Rovers. Yeah. I gather that's closer to where he's based and his family as well, so I don't know. I think Danny Bart likes it at Sunderland, don't get me wrong, but we just don't know. I don't think it's a case of the club actively pushing to sell him, but I completely understand why fans would question that, because it is an extremely tough sell. And come Ipswich on the 6th of August, I think it is, at the Stadium of Light, I would rather Danny Bart in the team than not. I think there is a danger you can be too clever with this sort of stuff and leave yourself short.
Yeah.
You know, Sealed and Triantis is coming in from the Australian League. Sealed has been playing in the Dutch second division. Sealed's picked up an injury already, so I doubt he's going to be ready to start. Triantis as well did get a knock on Australia under 20 duty. Again, we don't know how well he's going to adapt, how quickly either of those players adapt. I hope they adapt. I hope that, you know, they come in and set the world on fire, but more often than not, it does take players time. So yeah, it's, again, at the risk of repeating myself, I think letting Danny Bart go in the summer is a real, real tough sell. And I think there'd be, you know, I think that decision would rightly be questioned, although there is logic behind it. I just think it's 6 months too early.
Yeah. And obviously going into the start of the season, John, which James says there, is just under a month's time, thankfully. Although I think that time will drag quite severely. There is a lot more pressure on Sunderland this season than there was last season. Obviously, no one really knew what to expect from us last year. You know, Sunderland fans included in that. A lot of people were saying, you know, I'd take fourth bottom, avoid relegation, stay in the Championship for a few seasons. But with how well we've done last season, albeit in what I think was a fairly poor league all in all, there's a lot more pressure on Sunderland to, you know, succeed this season, whether that be a top six finish. I think Speakman alluded to it, you know, pretty much straight after the playoff defeat against Luton, that the playoffs isn't even our goal at this point. It's, you know, to aim for the top two. But when you look at some of the teams in the division, you've got Leicester, who I think have already spent about 20 million on two good, experienced Premier League players in Cody and Harry Winks. I think they're looking at bringing in Mavididi as well from the French League, who is a very decent player. So it's going to be tough, and it's going to be interesting to see how Sunderland go about the business for the rest of the window, how, you know, how well we start the season, because, like I said, there is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I think we've, you know, like we said, we've had that sort of anomaly year where we can just, you know, not relax, but, you know, as long as we stay in the division, that's fine. But I think we've hit those levels whilst, you know, you think of all the injuries we had, and, you know, we were very much on a bare shoestring squad, you know, for most of the season. You know, just think what we could have done, you know, with a full strength. I don't think we're going to have that leeway this year. It's very much going to be, you know, if Speakman's, you know, saying that, you know, the top two is maybe the aim, I think that's well within our rights. So I think to me, it's just promotion. But can we, you know, can we handle that pressure? You know, I think that's the reason we sign a lot of youngsters, because there is, you know, they're quite fearless and they don't feel the pressure. But if, you know, I think we need a lot of things to fall into place, you know, in terms of injury and squad depth. I still think we need to recruit, you know, like James was saying, you know, especially a bit of experience. You know, we're missing, you know, there's talk of Bart going. We're missing Evans and Stewart as well. I think they're a massive help on the pitch. Obviously, we've lost Bailey right now. Yeah. So I would like to see a little bit of, you know, sort of seniority and someone who's, you know, maybe a couple of players who actually have done it in this league for at least a few seasons. Someone told me yesterday that 20-year-old Tom Cannon, the striker from Everton, was a... you know, was sort of an experienced championship player, you know, which I'd probably slightly had to disagree with. But, you know, you want a few players maybe who have been there and done it, just to add that experience to the youngsters. But yeah, just for me, it's promotion. You know, obviously speaking of top two, you know, I'll take any promotion as long as we go up.
Yeah. And of course, that does kick off on the 6th of August. We'll try and get some podcasts out between now and then, of course, talking about any of the signings that come in. Any other players that do leave, anything else that happens surrounding the club, which I'm sure between now and then there will be. But until then, we will see you later. That's all, folks.